Brett McMurphy joins us again. Brett, thanks for being with us. First weekend in college football, there was some of the usual one-sided blowouts between the haves and the have-nots, but also some flat-out eye-popping upsets and some closer games, especially in the SEC. What'd you take away from week one here in college football?
Hey, Bobby, I just have a quick question. Do you those get bags... Is that what you give the get back coaches for Halloween?
Maybe.
I'm just curious.
Maybe. I don't. It's a get back. It's the, when they want you to leave, they give it to you. Now get. You gave your blood. Now get. Yeah. And they give it to you and off you go. So
I got you. Well, speaking of body bags, how about a nice segue there? Let's talk about the SEC. Yeah.
Okay.
Missouri, Ole Miss, Tennessee at the Rocky Top, Rocky Flop, right at the top.
Really?
You know, it was a bad week for the SEC. But you know what? If the SEC goes on and wins a national title, which obviously they've got two, maybe three legitimate contenders, nobody will remember how good or bad the rest of the conference is. And that's kind of how it is every year. You know, I think if Clemson wins a title this year, they're my pick. You know, if we talk a couple of years down the road and say, wow, how good was the ACC? We'll say, you know, we really don't remember, but we do know Clemson won the title. So the good news for the SEC is all their bell cows survived and moved on and looked good. But on the flip side, you know, after the top six teams, the rest of the league looks really very mediocre right now.
Brett McMurphy, you can find on Twitter at Brett_McMurphy, and you retweeted the AP Top 25 poll, and Brett, it underscores your point. I mean, of the top six teams in the country, three of them are from the SEC. So for all the surprising results, there are still people that look at this league with three of the top six and four of the top 10, and I guess if you put Florida in there, it's, what, five of the top 11. So it's,
yeah, it's still business as usual.
But is it really business as usual across the board? It seems to me college football earlier in the year has a narrower gap than it used to. College basketball always was the one where you got the eyebrow raising results, but college football, you go like 3 weeks in and there were a lot of 66-3 games, but you're not seeing that as much. Is the gap narrowing some?
I agree with what you're saying. I would say, though, I think the top three teams, Clemson, Bama, and Georgia, are significantly better than anybody else in the country. Even as impressive as Oklahoma looked with Terps and Ohio State, I really think after those top three, then I think you have a group of about five or six, maybe seven teams that are a notch below them. And then I really think if you go from 12, 13, 14 to about number 40, you've got teams where anybody could beat anybody. And that's where I think, you know, you see a lot of this parity. And when I do my AP ballot, you know, once I get out of the top 10 or 11 or 12, it's really, you know, it's like drawing straws. You could tell me a team I don't have in here, and I'd say, you know what? You make a great point. They could be in there. I think that's how close it is. But I do think there really is a huge gap between Clemson, Bama, and Georgia. And somebody made the analogy after the Miami-Florida game in week zero is, if that is the nation's number eight team in the country, which obviously they dropped to number 11, but if that is a top 10 team, then, my God, how much of a gap is there between the top 10 in the top three teams and Clemson, Bama, and Georgia? And I don't see anything changing. And a perfect example, this week, Clemson playing their toughest game of the year against number 12-ranked Texas A&M, and they are nearly a three-touchdown favorite.
Well, that is amazing. You got that right. I mean, that's shocking. You know, this is I'm trying to think of any other sport where really a team that's, you know, supposedly that close, one of the top of the 100 and whatever it is, the you know, elite level teams, 130 teams, where two of them that are ranked in the top 12 would be three touchdowns separated. I mean, that's I can't think of any other analogy. But let me ask you that. Is that really an aberration, or has that been the case in college football longer than – it's just because it's Alabama and Clemson every year now. We're starting to pay attention to it differently, but has that been the case, and I just really wasn't kind of oblivious to it?
No, Bobby, I don't think it has. I think this is different. I think it's special, certainly, because – Clemson and Alabama have ruled college football for the last 5 years. And because of that, they are, whether it's, you know, perception is reality, one of those deals, the reality is they've won all the last four national championships. So the perception is they're much better. They played every year. So I think they get a lot of benefit of the doubt. But certainly, you know, we'll see what Texas A&M can do. You know, they had an offensive lineman. I think it was an offensive lineman predict, you know, there will be an upset on Saturday. He didn't specify which game, so he may be right. I think the sharp people in Vegas will take Texas A&M plus. I think it's down to 17, 18 now. It's dropped that much. So certainly if you can get a top 12 team getting, you know, two touchdowns and a field goal, you take them. But we'll see how the game plays out. Last year, Clemson barely won this game. But remember last year, Trevor Lawrence only attempted 9 passes in this game. Justin Ross only had 1 catch. And Travis Etienne was basically a non-factor. So now basically Clemson's best 3 offensive weapons are at home against an A&M team. And, you know, we'll see. That's why they play the games.
Brett McMurphy's with us. I shouldn't assume anything, but since it's your business, I'm sure you watched at least part of the Louisville game last night. How much, you know, there's a lot of optimism around here about what they did. What did you take away from it?
Absolutely. You know, I thought Louisville played very well. I thought they looked 1,000 times better than last year. I mean, it's not any secret to anybody listening to this right now that the team quit on Bobby Petrino and he quit on them. There was a lot of issues there, and I think that's pretty obvious. And you look at how they played, the turnout for this game, you know, I know it's cliche to say it was Louisville Super Bowl, but in a way it kind of was, the first time Notre Dame had come there. And I thought Louisville was tremendous. I know, you know, Scott Satterfield's not into moral victories, but you do have to take some comfort in the fact that, you know, Hawkins put up 122 yards rushing. Louisville averaged 5.3 yards per carry. You're only outgained by 40 yards for the game. And if not for those trifecta fumbles there at the end of the first half, you go into halftime tied at 14. And then, who knows what happens in the second half. So with all that positive and uplifting talk about Louisville, I still think it's going to be tough for them to get 6 wins and get to a bowl game. But maybe they'll prove me wrong. I think they certainly will double last year's win total. I don't know if they can quite get to 6, but I thought it was a very impressive showing. Again, I know, you know, Satterfield's not into moral victories, but I think it's a good step in the right direction. And you just look what he did at Appalachian State. I mean, I see similar development at Louisville, and certainly he's got to get to the point where, you know, these aren't moral victories, but these are wins on the field, and then certainly as you increase that, then be able to knock off, the mighty Clemson Tigers at some point.
But to your point, if they get to 4 or even 5 wins and they're competitive and playing hard and everything that we saw last night, I think it would be a very successful first year for him. I mean, because you got to take into context the starting point. So I think your point's well taken. I'd be remiss. I know you got a minute or two before you got to go. But Kentucky took care of a pretty good Toledo team relatively handily, even though they weren't great, in a day where a lot of their SEC colleagues stumbled a little bit. How significant was their win?
You know, that was big because Toledo's a lot better than I think the average fan realizes. I mean, they are one of the favorites to win the Mid-American team. And I think, you know, obviously a lot of people are expecting Kentucky to regress a little bit after last year, but certainly they trailed early in that game. They came back and had an impressive win. Toledo scored late. That's kind of misleading. They basically were winning by 21. So, you know, it's a good step for them, but should have no trouble this week. And then they go to Florida because they try to extend the streak, you know, the long-standing streak to 2 consecutive wins against Florida. And then, you know, then you get into the meat of the SEC schedule and, you know, who knows? You know, some of these games, you know, I thought the Missouri game looked tough. Now, that's not so tough. Tennessee, obviously, is not all it's cracked up to be. So I think Kentucky should have no problem getting back to a bowl game. Obviously, they don't want to go, though, from double-digit wins to 6 wins. I don't think that necessarily will be the case, but I think that's a good win. Again, you got to keep in mind, you know, the personnel losses that Kentucky had, the same as you got to keep in mind with Louisville, you know, kind of the limitations they had with who they had coming back going into this year.
I'll let you go, Brett. Come visit with us again. You can find Brett at Twitter, at Brett_McMurphy. He's, of course, plying his trade now for the Stadium Network, and you can find a link to that on Twitter as well. Brett, thanks so much for the time. Good talking to you.
Thanks, Bobby.
All right. Brett McMurphy, we enjoyed talking to him.